Blog Talk Radio.
We have two guests on tonight, so we stopped the theme for a little short, so we have a little more time. First, I want to introduce my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing?
I am awesome, as always. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. We have two special guests. The first part of the show is going to be outside of Broward. We're going to actually work in Marion County, which is central part of Florida, and we have a great guy named Randy Osborne who's running for the committee man over there in Broward County, in Marion County, excuse me. He probably would be good down here too. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I so appreciate you having me on this evening.
Okay, for our listeners, can you describe Marion County for us?
Yes, Marion County, it's basically a county that is a Republican county as such. There are roughly about 90,000 Republicans. There's around 70,000 Democrats, and independents make up about 45,000-50,000. So it is a predominantly Republican county as such. It is one of those counties that that we need to really get out the vote, especially on the presidential election, because it's very, very critical that we carry some of the other counties that are going to have some struggles there.
So you're counting on Marion County and county surrounding it to actually help Trump win re-election. We would gladly need your help, because down here it's totally opposite what you got down up there. In Broward County, it's about 600,000 Democrats, about 350,000 Republicans, and about 400,000 MPAs. So we need to get out the vote down here. And I know you guys up in Marion County are doing getting out the vote. As a committee man, what is your job? So to explain your position.
Well, right. A committee man at the state, a state committee man, every county has a state committee man and state committee woman. So all 67 counties of the Republican Party is made up of one state committee man, one state committee woman. And then there's a chairman, an REC chairman of the county. So what a state committee man does is they actually represent the people to the state party. For example, whereas a chairman of an REC, they represent the actual Republican Executive Committee. They represent that to the state party. A committee man actually has to vote. It's an elected position on the ballot here in August 18th. My name, as well as a couple other people, will be on that ballot for a state committee man. Now, only Republican voters will have that name on there because I am running as a Republican state committee man.
I have a question. As a Republican state committee man, are you the boss of the REC that is in the county?
No, ma'am. The chairman, which is an elected position within the party, the local party, that gets an elected position within the local party. That chairman is actually the person that is over, that resides over that Republican Executive Committee.
Okay.
Go ahead. I was going to ask you, as a state committee man, what is your job as opposed to the chairman?
Well, my job is actually to take the county. I represent the county to the Republican, the state party, is what basically that job entails. There's a lot of things that we do. One is we get we try to engage our party. If there's issues that maybe some of the members of the Republican Party have, we try to help mediate those issues. We also are very, very involved in helping Republicans get elected. That's one of the biggest roles that we have, especially during the presidential times, is to help our Republicans get elected within our county, state, and also at the national level.
So basically, now, for you being in charge of Marion County as a committee when you win, as if you're going to win, how would you improve the county from where it's at now?
Well, one of the challenges that we have is there's two things that I see. There are a lot of Democrats that have been in the Democratic Party their entire lifetime. Their parents may have been Democrats. It's the old blue collar Democrats,
as
a lot of people call them. Yes. And so one of the challenges that we have is we believe that there's a lot of Democrats that are not Democrats anymore. The party has gone. The Democratic Party has gone so far left that they've literally turned into a socialist party. And there's a lot of Democrats that are not in lock sync with that. So one of the things is encourage them, number one, is to come over to the Republican Party. Republican Party is a place that is obviously not a socialist party, that the Democratic Party is starting to really, really get out there and show the world that's who they are. The second one is the independent voters. Is to encourage independent voters to register as Republican at the Republican Party. See, in the state of Florida, we have a closed voting system, whereas if you can only vote in a primary for the people that you have actually signed up for in the party. So if you're a Republican in the primary, you can vote for Republicans in the primary. Democrats cannot vote for Republicans in a primary. They can only vote in a general election for them. So one of the things that we want to encourage, especially independents, because a lot of independents are just kind of frustrated with the parties, say, look, if you want a voice, if you want to be able to pick your candidate in the primary, it's important that you register as a Republican so that you have a voice. Otherwise, you don't have a voice in those primaries. And the primaries are really critical on choosing good candidates, Republican candidates, that you can actually get behind and support. And independents do not have that opportunity because they can't vote in a primary.
Now, have you have a, how is the reception right now going around the county for your campaign and for the president itself and other candidates as you go around?
Well, right now, I just registered very, very recently to get into the race. It's a very, again, it's a very, very positive race. I believe that, you know, there's no doubt in my own mind that that I will win this race. And it's for a lot of reasons. I have been so involved in the Republican Party over the years. I was a former chairman here in Marion County of the REC here locally in Marion County. In addition, I've been very, very actively involved in a lot of policy within the state. One of them was Common Core, which our governor has just recently has abolished, and it's kind of in the process of that. It's going to be a process, but he has actually made changes to do away with Common Core. So there's a lot of policies I've been working with. A lot of people in the county know me for many of those policies that I've been working on.
So you have a leg up based on that. What do you see as a possible obstacle in ahead of you, and how you solve it?
Well, in the way of obstacles, obviously, I am, you know, it is more important that President Trump gets reelected. It's more important that we have good candidates that get elected within our state, within our county, and also nationally, than my race. My race is absolutely secondary to all these other issues. So one of the obstacles is we have to get President Trump reelected. It is not an option. I do believe that this is the most important race that in my lifetime we've ever had. When I was in school, I actually was on President Reagan's campaign staff. And I can say, even going all the way back to then, that I would say that this election is going to change America in one way or another. And I'm very, very concerned that we have to get President Trump reelected, and that is my drive and that is my goal.
Okay. Now, how do you energize your base, being that in your county you'll have a pretty good edge on the Republican side in the general, since you're going to win the primary, and I know you will. How would you energize the base to get people to flip from one end to another, and also improve the coattails of Trump when he takes the state? Because there's a lot of candidates in your down running for office, Congress, as well as local, and that the coattails need to be big so we can bring a lot of people in, especially new blood.
I agree. I think one of the ways, I think there's a couple things that we as Republicans need to do, not just at the county level, but I also at the state level, is I think we need to really, really expose, number one, what President Trump has done in his policies. There are so many decisions that he has made that has benefited our nation, all the way from religious liberty to help curb abortions nationally to things such as things that he has done economically for our nation. And I think that we need to start really, really advertising that. Is this is what the president has done and the positive things our president has done. His policies has literally made America great again, and it's based on his policies. And a lot of people don't know that. You get on the news, and you watch CNN or MSNBC or something like that, and you get 24/7 of how terrible this president is. But if you actually look at his policies, he has been more effective, again, than any president I have seen in my lifetime. The second thing I think we need to do is we need to expose the other side. We need to expose the Democratic Party for what they are and what they're doing. And, again, if you sit there and watch CNN or MSNBC or whatever, all you're going to do is get you're going to get something that's not accurate. And I think we need to expose the facts of the Democratic Party. And the third thing I would do is I would take and compare the platform of the Republican Party against the Democratic Party. That needs to be out there. And to flip people and make them decide this is not the party I want to be a part of, meaning the Democratic Party, I think if you were to compare those two platforms, most Americans could not support that Democratic platform.
Okay, couple of things. One, I want to get this done before we say end this part, because you have another guest coming on in a little bit. Two things quickly. What's your opinion on what's going on with the virus and all the so-called second wave and all that stuff? And the other one is any comment about Black Lives Matter, as well as Antifa and all the anti and the defunding of the police.
Okay, I'll first of all address the virus. It's obvious that the coronavirus is real. I've had family members that have actually been exposed and actually have had symptoms of that virus. It is real. There's no question about that. It definitely has been a danger to older people. But here's the rest of the story. I believe that this virus was used to try to damage our country. I believe it was used very specifically to damage our economy. I believe that has been very effective. It's also been used in a lot of your liberal states to attack religious liberty. And I really appreciate our governor and the stance and the positions that he's taken on getting our economy back up and running and getting our state open back up. The other thing about this issue is on the second wave, as it's being called. Again, you know, it is a virus and it's going to come and go, et cetera. But if you look at the data, if you look at the actual statistics on this virus, compared to other viruses, I believe a lot of the messaging that the press and the public is putting out is pretty much a hoax, meaning that it's not as contagious, it's not as deadly as it's being portrayed to be.
I would agree with you.
On the Black Lives Matters and the Antifa group, I really appreciate the president coming out with Antifa and making it a terrorist organization. A few years ago, I was speaking, I was going around the state speaking on Islam, comparing Islam to our Constitution. And I had a church that asked me to speak at that event, at an event there. Make a long story short, Antifa threatened to close the event down. They are radical. They have one purpose in mind, and that is they're Marxist, and that is basically the overthrow of the United States government. And I believe that our country, our nation, our law enforcement needs to act as if that is who they really are, because that is a fact. My concern is organizations like Black Lives Matter. They have teamed up with Antifa, as well as CARE, which is Council of American Islamic Relations. They've all teamed up with Antifa, and that is a problem. Now, the rest of the story is, do Black Lives Matter? Absolutely. Has things happened in our nation that has hurt our black brothers and sisters? Absolutely. But when you try to carve out a particular race, and then you take a movement and it gets hijacked by a group like Antifa, that is another problem. And that also needs to be dealt with. Not as people, again, there has been injustices in our black community. There's no question about that. But the issue is when you team up with a radical group, you start looting, you start destroying people's property, their homes. That needs to be dealt with very, very swiftly and very harshly.
Can you give us the website so our listeners could go and join and volunteer for your campaign and donate monies? Because, of course, it takes money to do this.
Yes, there's two things. You can go to my Facebook page. It's Randy Osborne for State Committee Man. Randy Osborne for State Committee Man. That's on my Facebook page. The website, if you just go to Facebook, the website, you can also pick up the website going to that page. Also, I have a phone number on there. If anybody has any questions about where I stand or on any issue such as that, my phone number is also on Facebook. It's 352-572-7598. I know a lot of people get nervous about me giving out my phone number, but I've always been very open to talk to people concerning issues, political issues. So looking forward to hearing from people.
That is great, and don't be scared giving out your number, because people got to reach you and you become more personal. It's better that way because they know they could count on you to for help.
That's right. I agree.
And it's very important. I wish you luck. I know you're going to win. You sound great, and you got to. And once you win, you got to communicate down here and help us here in Broward County. Give a little hand for both Michelle Merrill and DiNapoli and work as a team for our whole state so we could make sure that Trump wins re-election in a landslide and bring and his coattails bring in all the candidates.
Sounds great. By the way, I was in Broward a few weeks ago or a few months ago on the recount. So I definitely know you guys, and we try to help you as much as possible.
We got rid of Brenda Snipes, and that's a big thing because she stole a lot of elections. In fact, thanks to her, we have Nikki Fried, the head of agriculture, and that's a mistake because we believe that she stole it from Caldwell.
I believe it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show. If you need anything, let us know, and you can always come on and get you towards the primary day on the 18th.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, that was
Randy Osborne.
One, and Randy is running for a state committee man at Marion County, and we support him. And
who's Broward County state committee person?
Broward County.
I never knew this existed, so I'm learning.
Okay. Broward County state committee man right now is Richard DiNapoli. And the state committee woman in Broward County is Michelle Merrill. Coming on in about 6 minutes, here it take, will be Wayne Clark, who's running for Broward County Sheriff.
When
I introduce him, I'm going to make an announcement at the same time as I introduce the guy. He is running for Broward County Sheriff, and I believe he will be a great sheriff, and he will win, and I'll tell you why when I make the announcement. The other thing is, there were a couple other things going on that's important. Bullying. Just because what I'm doing doesn't mean I'm doing something on the other end. I have not given up everything. My causes, my main causes in life, again, is addiction, special needs, like autism, as well as bipolar and schizophrenia stuff. This mental illness, big thing. will be in constantly lobbying in Tallahassee and also in D.C. to get laws passed for on that. More funding for addiction. We have a website and at the White House that will work. We're going to be tough on bullies. And we're going to straighten up victims' rights, victims' causes. And we're taking that on. We believe there should be no statute of limitations when a father rapes a child, a minor, a teenager. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. We believe there should be no statute of limitations on that. And we want, you know, if we could bring back old Smokey for the people with that, it would be great, as Mike Gesson would say. But I think we should go back to the old days and cut this prick off, this prick's balls off and dick off and stuff it in his mouth and then send him to the glades and let the animals eat him like he deserves. But people that rape people, especially when they do incest, pedophilia, and molestation, they are very sick individuals and then beyond help, and they should need to be eliminated. Because you know what happens? Just because a person gets raped once, it's actually getting raped every day and every month until they conquer that. Because they believe they're the victim, and they're the reason for it. That they are. They believe that they are responsible for being raped, and they're not. They are, like I said, they are a victim. They're not responsible for that. The animal that did it is responsible for that. And they cannot psychologically or even physically get over that until they overcome that fact and stop blaming themselves for something they have no control over. And that's a lot of hardcore therapy, and it's usually in-house, and you cannot constantly stay with the person that actually raped you, because as long as you're living with your father or mother, in one case father, that person's actually raping you over and over again. May not be physically, but it's definitely doing it mentally, until you actually realize that you're living with the animal. And you start and recognizing that it's not your fault, that you're a victim, and start moving forward in your life by going into a place like ANOVA and get the psychological and physical help that you need to recognize that you are a victim and it's not your fault. Because once you do that, every other mental issue you have and the addiction you may have will eliminate themselves. Because right now you're punishing yourself for everything he has done because you're blaming you. So move on and go forward in life and stop blaming yourself. Because it's not you that is responsible. It is the father that's responsible. It's the animal that's responsible. It's the rapist that's responsible. And that's part of learning about victims. So we're going to start lobbying in Tallahassee to make sure that we can toughen these laws and get people like this guy, this animal, to be put in prison for the rest of his life, no matter if he's 20 years old or 76 years old. It doesn't matter. He still did it, and he's still responsible, and every day the victim is living with this animal. He's doing it over and over again, and that is wrong. Now, coming up will be here he is now. I'm going to introduce you to someone that's very special. Our guest is on now, let me introduce you this way. As you know, I have been running for Broward County Sheriff along with Wayne Clark. Wayne Clark and I got to know each other, and we became friends. I am officially suspending my campaign for sheriff, so I can actually do what I just talked about, go into Tallahassee and others to lobby and to get our laws straightened out and to raise funds for causes like addiction, autism, special needs, and to strengthen our laws of victimhood so we can protect women that have been raped by their fathers and elsewhere. So I'm working with Wayne Clark. I hope he understands that. He's on now. I'd like to introduce you to the next sheriff of Broward County, Mr. Wayne Clark. How you doing, Wayne?
Joe, how you doing, buddy? Good to be on. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
As you know, I just endorsed you and officially suspended my campaign to work with you to become the next sheriff of Broward County.
Thank you, Joe. I know you are very, very passionate about, you know, those areas that you just discussed, and you know, I know that you've had a long history with trying to make those changes, and I wish you all the luck in the world with trying to make some changes in Tallahassee, because we certainly need it, especially in the areas that you were discussing and talking about. You know, there are people out there that need a voice, and you're that guy. You're somebody that's going to do what you need to do, and you're not afraid of ruffling some feathers or making some people angry. And sometimes that has to happen. So good luck.
Oh, you should see who the angers are. But you are doing the same thing, and you're taking on the machine, really, with people like Scott Israel and Tony and stuff. And I made a promise back in the day when with Al Lamberti that Scott Israel should never be sheriff again. And this goes back all the way to the airport with the terrorist attack at the Fort Lauderdale airport.
I was going to bring it up. You know, you and I were in a forum back in the Broward Social Network, I think was the name of the organization, where you called out Scott for the issues with the airport, for the issues with MSD. And then last night we had, you know, another forum, and it's like nobody wants to talk about those things or bring those issues up with Scott. And I brought him up, and, you know, it's something that needs to be discussed. He was praising his policies and procedures, and, you know, we brought it up last night that those policies and procedures led to 17 people getting murdered, so...
Yeah, and he doubled, at that forum that you and I were on, he doubled down on it, and we challenged him,
did.
And he walked off, and he walked off at the end, saying he had a previous engagement, which he didn't have.
Right. So, yeah, look, the whole I'm in the race is because I felt like you, I felt compassionate that, you know, you have the airport incident, then you have MSD. And he doesn't want to take any self-responsibility. And, you know, look, I was really hoping that when the governor appointed Gregory Tony, that BSO was going to turn around, the morale was going to come back, that the agency was going to finally start to shine again. Unfortunately, in the last, you know, little bit, we've seen the things come out. And it hasn't happened. And so... that's why that's why I got into the race. I talked to my family. I talked to, you know, everyone around me. And it's like, you know, I'm the type of guy where I will voice my opinion, but, you know, you either have a choice. You can either sit on the couch and complain, or you can get up and try to make change. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to turn that agency around and fix the corruption in Broward County.
And that's why I was doing what I was doing, because Stoneman Douglas, before that, the airport, in between that, the Promise Program, Runcie, you know, I actually caught Runcie at Breck and ran there and took him out, basically, and, you know, and that hit the papers. But the thing is, the corruption is all over Broward County. It's governmental. It's the courthouse, the judicial system. It's the BSO itself. We still got Hamzy, who's a member of CARE. It's still working as a deputy. You got problems, and you got a sheriff and Tony that's taking a knee to cowtail to terrorist organizations. He's falling into the mob role. And that's wrong, too. He turned his back on his deputies.
Yeah, no, he did. And look, I was asked last week on a radio show, you know, a guy named Chris Melton had asked me, he's like, would you take a knee? And I'm very, very straightforward. Look, I will only take a knee when I pray to God. You know, and that's it. I believe in peaceful protest. I believe that people have a right to express their views. That's what's great about America. We're all Americans. We have a First Amendment right. But I'm not going to kneel to someone else and show any type of power or anything. I pray to God, and you know, maybe if I'm out hunting or something like that, I would kneel. But other than that, that's it. I think there's a time and place for everything, and unfortunately, you know, Tony did what he did. But you know, it's one of those things to where I believe in peaceful protest, but the minute you start throwing bricks and rioting and looting, it's got to stop. And we have to take control, or else it turns into anarchy, and you just lose absolute, you know, control of everything.
They're apparently expecting something crazy going to happen in Davie this weekend. They're fencing up the government offices and everything along Davie Road Extension and Sterling area. And rumors going around, I'm not 100% sure, that both Antifa and Black Lives Matter will be doing their protests along Davie Road, going into Sterling and then wreck havoc in that area, including all the strip mall and the McDonald's over there, among other things. They're gonna try and create another Wendy's from Atlanta.
Yeah, you just can't let the destruction of property go on. You gotta look. Like I said, and I'll say it a million times. I believe in peaceful protest. I believe that people have a right under the United States Constitution. I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution. And I believe that right is there. But you don't have a right to burn something down. You don't have a right to go and destroy property, because, you know, the owners of these businesses worked their butts off to get where they got. They worked hard. They put a lot of time and effort into running a business. I personally know with restaurants, because I grew up with my grandfather owning a restaurant back home, and I was 10, 11 years old, busting tables, washing dishes in a restaurant. And so I know how much sweat and tears these restaurant owners or business owners put in, and to see their businesses destroyed, it's mind-boggling to me. And, you know, it distracts, whatever your message is, it gets watered down or distracted if there's mass chaos and things are destroyed. You know, because a lot of these people that own these businesses, you know, there's no insurance coverage for some of this stuff, and so they're out their life savings for what? So somebody could torch a place, and if the chief law enforcement officer in Broward County, I mean, it's my job, my duty to make sure that I protect everybody. I mean, we're there to protect and to serve, and so to let someone else take away someone's life's dreams and burn it down, you got to stop it, and you can't let it happen. So. Hopefully, I don't know what's going on in Davie this weekend. I haven't really seen anything.
They're literally fencing up the Davie City Hall and points and all along Davie Road Extension, all getting fenced up. So something's brewing.
Yeah.
The other thing, couple of things. One, how would you handle the situation with the morale with the Jeff Bell and the deputies union all going crazy? They initially went after Tony because he was so-called draining the swamp. But I, when he said that the other day, I said he didn't go far enough. He should have drained him out. But, Hamzy. But how would you restore the morale and connect with the deputies?
Look, you got to bring that back, right? I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you got to bring that morale back because, you know, if people are afraid or don't want to go to work because they're afraid of getting fired, they're not going to do their job, they're not going to keep the community safe. I've actually spoken to Jeff a couple of times in the last year. You know, it's one of those things where you've got to reach out to the unions. You've got to have a direct line of communication. You've got to have an open door. It appears that this administration, at least, hasn't taken the time to even have a discussion. It doesn't mean you always are going to agree. It doesn't mean you're always going to see eye to eye, because there are going to be times where you just don't agree with somebody, and that's life. But you've got to reach out to the union. I don't know what's out there on Jeff Bell or not. You know, Tony's made some comments in the news that, you know, there's some stuff out there. I don't know, so I don't know all the investigative stuff, but it sounds to me like if you're the head of the union, you have a First Amendment right. You have a legal duty to stand up for the members and speak for the members of your union. And that's what it looked like Jeff was doing to me. But, again, I don't know all the details.
I know Jeff Bell. Him and I communicated a lot over the last couple of years. He was standing up to fight for his deputies. And he felt that Tony is not giving him a fair shake, and that's part. And I figured that's part of negotiations between union as well as management, based on that. He's also upset that Tony was changing things around, but Tony's situation is his credibility more than anything. He lied about things, and his past is catching up to him. And I don't know about you, but I'm in law enforcement, you're in law enforcement in some way. If it's self-defense, what he did in Philly, why hide it, number one? And why, you know, if you're going to be honest, you're being bonded. When you file an application, when you file the paperwork to be bonded to become an officer, you have to tell the truth on it, and they do background checks and stuff. Eventually, it's going to come out. Why lie?
Yeah, look, I'm a lawyer, right? And as a lawyer, these things are pretty clear to me. I don't know if you thought that it was self-defense and that was your story, you know, why not explain it that way? I don't know. I can't, you know.
It opened more questions than answers. And he was a pretty good shot at 14, based on all the evidence. He knew how to do a kill shot. And then it came out that he tried to apply for a police officer up in Tallahassee, and he told the truth about him to be involved with LSD. And then it was denied, so he denied. So he missed. So he actually omitted in the next application for Carl Springs and got in. My guess is that if he was on LSD back in the day, he was also involved with the drug running in Philly, and that might have been the real reason. But besides all that, it's the fact that he hid things and he manipulated to hide things. That's his credibility and his ethics has been shot. That's his big thing there. We need honesty and integrity in sheriff, and that's one of the things I know about you. And that's why I'm supporting you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. And look, I think that one of the problems that agency has amongst several is lack of transparency. And I think that's something that's in Broward County as a whole. You got to have transparency, and you also have to set the standards. And you, as the leader, have to live up to those same standards. It can't be, you know, I have a set of standards, but the people under me or that work for me have a different set, right? We all got to play by the same rules. We've all got to have the same standards. And if I would fire someone or not hire someone based on a certain criteria, then if I violated that same thing, I shouldn't be doing the job, right? I think it's pretty self-explanatory that you gotta have standards, and you gotta hold everybody accountable. Yourself, and it starts at the top. You gotta hold yourself accountable and everyone around you, because that's how you gain the trust of the community. That's how you show transparency, and that's how you turn that thing around is by being an open book with the budget and knowing where the money's going and knowing, you know, what's BSO doing and building trust. If you build trust, it's going to make the guys and gals that work for the agency their job much easier, and it's going to make them happy, because, you know, if the community trusts them and they trust the community, it just makes your job easier.
How would you build the trust?
Well, I think, look, I, you know, okay, so there was an incident at the McDonald's. We all know about it. That incident went up through the review board, and the review board, you know, came back with their findings, and it seemed like that administration didn't follow the review board and completely flipped and went, you know, went, did their own thing. You know, I spoke to Al Lamberti very early on when I first got in, got, you know, the idea of running, and A, I wanted to make sure that Al wasn't going to run. As a Republican, you know, I respected Al, and I wanted to make sure. And so in talking to Al about that whole incident, you know, he said, Wayne, look, there were times where things would go to the review boards. I wouldn't agree with the findings, but I never overruled them. I never overturned them. And that's because that's why they're there. They're an independent board to look and make reviews and make recommendations. He said, there were times where I might not have agreed and I might have asked for clarification, but I never overruled or overturned them. And I think once you start overruling and overturning those independent review boards, those community review boards, you start to lose the trust of the deputy. And then if you don't allow the deputies or employees due process, you lose the trust even more.
A lot of people don't understand, because of the left-wing media and everything, that we already have a community review board here in Broward County. And these people don't understand it, and they're looking for all these things about having community involved with it, with a review board. It's already there. And it's been active since Al Lamberti days that we know of. Would you bring, if I was to help you, would you accept bringing in people like a Bernie Couric and somebody like a Dan Bongino or even Chuck Norris to help rebuild the VSO and the community?
Yeah, look, I think you're going to need to bring people into the agency that are well-respected across the country, that have great backgrounds, that will help build trust. I think you've got to do that. Hey, whoever wins the election, somebody's got to do that, right? And I agree with you. I think you bring people in that are well-respected, that know what they're doing, that have a good history and can come in there. And that Joe, you know, is a good idea. That helps build the trust, right? That helps the men and women in the agency trust you, because
All three I know, and all three said they will come if we ask them to. Either I do it, or if, since I'm not running anymore, you do it, and they'll come and help you out. All three agreed in some form.
Yeah, so let's off the air, you know, maybe you and I, you know, I'll give you a call this week, and let's talk, because we've got to do something in Broward to get rid of the corruption, to bring the VSO brand back and shine.
We need to clean out the top floor, and we need to get the deputies not to be afraid to do their job. You know, and you know, because now what happened today in Atlanta, when they charged that cop for actually doing, he actually did the right thing. He filed procedure all the way around, and now they're charging him with felony murder.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing in Atlanta certainly appears on its face to be politically motivated, right? And one thing that you're not hearing in the news is that the district attorney there is up for election. He's in a – I think he lost in the primary, came in second, but there's a runoff, and that runoff, I think, is August 11th. So you're not really hearing that stuff with the news. Was what he did today, was it politically motivated so that he gets some votes to win in his runoff? And if that's the case, that's a politician going bad, right? Because you can't hold that position and do things for political reasons, because you're ruining someone else's life.
The Atlanta PD basically told everybody, you're on your own. If this guy goes down with felony murder, you better call your psychiatrist and social worker, because we're not going to respond. Let BLM and Antifa and the Democrats take care of you, because we're not going to risk our life for strangers to do what we're told to do and trained to do to protect your life, not just mine. and end up, and something happens, it goes wrong based on what the perp is doing. Because our job, primary function as officers, is to protect the community, save the community from harm, and that includes not only the officers, but also the people around. And if this guy grabbed a gun, and actually a taser, but he turned around and fired at these officers, and the officer had to respond because it's a split-second decision, and when they returned fire, he already started running again. So, of course, he got hit in the back. But in reality, he fired first, and they responded in kind, and that's self-defense. And that's procedure any police officer would do. And there's a lot of police officers, not only in Atlanta, but around the country right now, had enough of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a tough time right now for law enforcement agencies, law enforcement officers, deputies, cops, whatever you want to say. You know, I can only imagine in some of the households, someone's wife or husband or significant other, whatever, is saying, okay, now's your time to retire and get another job. And I hope that the current environment doesn't cause us to lose the good cops who care about their job and who do the right thing. Because, you know, look, every industry has a bad apple, right? Every industry has bad apples, and it's unfortunate. You know, you got to do the best you can to make sure those people aren't there, and you got to start in the hiring process. And you got to make sure the training is there. But like you said, it's a split-second decision. You've got to have men and women that are ready to make, that have good judgment, that are ready to make the decision they have to make. And so you can't ruin someone's life that quick without having, you know, I don't know how it works in Atlanta, but, you know, like what happened to the grand jury process? I don't know. I don't know what the next step there is, but,
judgment. Yeah, this looks like a rush to judgment for political reasons, and it doesn't even, you know, there's no saying about grand juries, about you could die a ham sandwich, but it didn't even look like that fast, that way. It looked like it was too fast, too done, too easy, and everybody, including the mayor of Atlanta, these would be gone because they threw every law enforcement underneath. And it's not just there; it's in Minnesota, it's in Seattle, it's, you know, even down here with Tony with the BSO, he basically threw his rank and file out the window when he took the knee. We need you to be the sheriff so we can restore dignity and honor and morale in the BSO.
Yeah, so since day one, my message has been clear. It's repair the damage and rebuild the trust, right? There's been damage done to the agency over the last couple of administrations, and you've got to repair that damage and you've got to rebuild the trust of the community. And it's a very simple statement, and it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take dedication, and you know, you've got to get people to buy into it. And I am the person that can do it.
And you got my support, and you got my social media network, which you know how big that is. And I will work with you any way you can. And when you become sheriff, I'll gladly work with you alongside to clean up and eliminate the corruption here. It's one of my pet projects. We also need to make sure that we actually arrest people that make false police calls, like one lady did. And we need to get people that assault and kill people and rape people off the streets. And we need to not be politically correct. We need to actually do our jobs to protect and serve the community.
Yeah, look, you got to protect and serve, right? If there's a criminal out there and there's somebody that's breaking the law, then I'm not the sheriff for you, because if you're breaking the law, we're coming to enforce the law. You know, that's what my constitutional duty is as a constitutional officer. And so when elected, you know, that's just the way it is. Sorry, if you're a criminal, you're breaking the law, you know, you're going to face the consequences. You know, I'm not the judge and the jury, and I'm not the prosecutor, but we're going to do our job and try to get some of these people off the streets to make it safer for everyone else. And, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, we're going to down some things.
We only have a couple minutes before the show ends. Before we do that, there's two things I want to say, I want to do. But you, you're also in charge of the judicial system here in Broward because the BSO is in charge of the court systems. If you see corruption in the court, would you go, and if I expose it or you see corruption in the courthouse, would you go and do your duty and arrest them if they violate the laws?
Yeah, look, anybody breaking the law in Broward County is not above the law, right? That's how it's got to be. It's got to be.
And that,
includes
lawyers and judges.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if you're breaking the law, absolutely. If you're not, you know, the law is the law. And you know, as a lawyer and as someone that's a judge, hopefully, you know, they're not and they know the laws. But, you know, look, if somebody's breaking the law and it's in my jurisdiction, 100%.
Governments like mayors and other government agencies throughout Broward County that's involved? If you get hold of a corrupt mayor, would you do the job and arrest that mayor?
Yeah, look, it doesn't matter who you are. I should say this. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you hold, in whatever agency you hold, is if you are breaking the law, then if you're within my jurisdiction, we are going to come after you. Plain and simple. We're not gonna turn blind eyes. We're not gonna play political games. We're not gonna, you know, say, well, because you're so and so, you get a pass. It doesn't work like that. Everybody has to follow the laws equally, and that's what the Constitution is meant for. The Constitution is meant for
now,
everybody to be treated.
Wayne, we only got a couple minutes left. Can you please tell our audience where to find you, the website, and where to volunteer and donate?
So look, that's the biggest thing. Thank you, Joe, for reminding me of that. That's the biggest thing in Broward County that we face being a Republican is getting great people to step up and help us. You can reach me at WayneForSheriff.com. It's WayneForSheriff.com. We have Facebook. We're friends with Joe on Facebook. We have my personal page, and I also have a campaign page. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. It's WayneForSheriff@Broward.com, or WayneForSheriff. And so that's how you can find us on social media. And look, we need donations, and we need volunteers. We need people to get the word out, to help us spread the word, to show that, you know, we're here to win, and we're here to bring change to Broward County.
I have one question for him. Last night on your forum, was Gregory Tony there?
Yes, he did show up.
He showed up. Scott Israel showed up?
Scott showed up, yes.
Okay. Al
Pollock was there as well, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I want to thank Wayne again, everyone, all my listeners, all my supporters. I am supporting and working with Wayne Clark for sheriff. He is the guy that's going to win. He is the best choice to help rebuild and make Broward County safe again. And we will work together to do so. I want to thank Wayne for coming on. He's a friend of mine. He's a great guy, and he'll make a great sheriff. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Joe. Have a great night.
All right. I'll talk to you during the week.
Okay. Take care. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And as you heard, it's 90 seconds before the show is over. I want to thank Wayne Clark, who's the next sheriff, as well as Randy Osborne, who's the next committee man out of Marion County. I want to thank Scarlett for coming on the show. God bless you all. And on Sunday, we got Jesse Melton. So stay tuned. God bless you all and have a great evening.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota.